Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on the Fire It Up with CJ, I have Jeanette Fulda, author of Half-Assed. Can I even say that on air, Chris? I guess so.
Well, you just did.
A weight loss memoir of losing 192 pounds, about 200 pounds. In 2004, Jeanette started at 372 pounds, and about two and a half years later, weighed 180 pounds. So she describes her weight loss journey both in her blog, PastaQueen.com, and her book, Half-Assed. And she has a new blog out as well that we'll talk about later. So welcome.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So I wanted to, there's so many different ways of writing a weight loss memoir. Mine would be about crying, guilting, and shaming myself, and otherwise belittling myself. Yours, however, was funny, light, and humorous. I wanted to find out how you came about writing, you know, how you decided to come up with that approach for writing your book.
Yeah, I think it's just a reflection of my personality. I just tend to like to laugh at things. I don't take myself too seriously. And that's also the way I was raised, too. I know when my extended family all gets together, we laugh so hard. Sometimes, you know, the dog will leave the room. Or it kind of sounds like a cauldron or lots of witches, like, cackling or something. So it's definitely, I think, just, it's always been part of my identity. And so when I write about things, I do try to keep a positive attitude. And I think it makes it easier to go through life when you're...
Yeah. And don't you think that people related to the book more because it was kind of light?
I hope so, yeah, because I know there are several weight loss memoirs out there, and some of them can be really, really sad and depressing because people do really get down on themselves about their weight and kind of let society make them feel really bad about it, whereas I feel like, you know, you can't hate your way into loving yourself. You really need to maybe start by feeling you're worthy of a good life, and then from there you're more able to make changes to get to an even better life.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that I admired so much about your approach is because, like, even I love the stories where you were in an interesting point during your weight loss where you were still losing weight and dieting, but you weren't necessarily part of the thin world or what you describe as the fat world. When you went to, it was like a love and acceptance of your weight kind of group of some sort.
Oh. Yeah, well, there's the fat acceptance movement, which is, kind of refers to their blogs, and their, I think there's even an official organization and some books about it. And their philosophy is that you shouldn't let people make you feel bad about your weight, and that you can be, they focus on health at any size, where they focus more on being healthy instead of just focusing on your weight, because you can be overweight and be in good health, and you can be thin and be in bad health. So it's sort of trying to focus more on the things that are more important than just how you look.
Yeah. And what I appreciated about what I liked about your approach is it didn't really go down those dark sides, you know, because again, it's a lot of those places. And what also the fat acceptance group does is really not go down those dark sides of shaming and guilting and blaming yourself. But did you ever go down those paths, or were you just like, la, 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 you know?
There are definitely times when I kind of slipped up and, you know, maybe ate a whole pan of brownies or something, you know, or when I knew that I made a choice that wasn't so great that I'd feel bad about it and think, oh, why didn't I do that? But, then you just try to take the next day, and you know, tomorrow you start fresh and you can forget about whatever happened yesterday and just focus on where you want to go in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had one of those moments this week where there's this, these pork dumplings that are these Chinese delicacies. They're about the size of a bonbon. Like, they're really small. I ate seven of those. Seven of those. 800 calories later, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that can be a thing. If especially if you get, like, a second serving or something, you don't eat all the food right in front of you, so you don't realize how much you've eaten.
I thought it was
and that
so
way
awful.
With, like, potato chips or things where you just kind of think, oh, one more, and then you've eaten the entire bag.
I know. And do you know how many calories are in a bag of chips we're looking at?
Oh,
it's like 2,000. If you ate a whole bag of chips, it's like 2,400 calories. And I've done that for sure.
Yeah, it's like all the calories you need in a day.
So I know. Actually, exactly, or more. It's crazy. Okay, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the huge metamorphosis that you went. And I really thought what was fascinating is all the different things that you're doing for the first time, like walking through the hallways at your work and people actually looking you in the face. Like, tell us a little bit about that.
I think, people are attracted to, I guess, our ideal standard of beauty. And typically, you know, if you're overweight or obese, you're not, prone to people thinking you're beautiful. But you can surf that scene, you know, overweight women are who definitely can work it, or plus size models, but it's definitely maybe a little bit harder. So sometimes people don't really talk to you, or they don't go out of their way to talk to you. But when I started to lose weight, I think people started to notice me more, or weren't as maybe put off by my weight. But I also think part of it came from the self-confidence that I was gaining, that I'd been working towards this big goal, and I was really making progress, and I really felt good about myself. So maybe I was kind of strutting it a little more than I had. I felt like I was overweight. So I think it's a combination of both of those things. I think also I was paying more attention to my fashion. You know, I was very excited that I could wear new clothes. So I think that also made me feel a little better. You know, when you have a new dress or something, you kind of feel...
Yeah, you're styling. You're like and strutting your stuff. So it could have been those things, or could...
Yeah.
Because the way that it seemed like in the book is like, wow, it seemed like you were invisible before. I mean, it's such an odd contrast.
And I think that's also kind of part of my personality. I'm not a huge extrovert. I'm the reflective girl writing about things or observing the world. And I'm not one of the people who really goes out there and talks to lots of people. So I think it was a combination of the way I looked and just my natural personality that made me sort of invisible.
Yeah. But it seems like over the, what I thought was so fascinating over the course of the book, and as you were losing weight, you were losing weight, but yet you're becoming more and more visible.
Yeah. It's like the smaller you get, the more people see you. It's a very weird.
Yeah, it's an interesting contrast.
Yeah, and I don't know what that says about our society. I know that it's not necessarily always been that way, because when you look at, you know, old paintings or Botticelli, you see the women in those paintings are kind of, they're bustier, they're larger women. So I think that was also something to help me, is knowing that our standard of beauty right now isn't necessarily the standard of beauty that's always been or will always be. So you can be beautiful, you know, at any size.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I love is that, and when I was reading the book, how you would look in the mirror and you're like, I'm hot, or I'm beautiful, or, you know, at any, whatever the weight was that you were, you know, at 250 pounds, and like, I'm looking hot, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think, and part of it was because I'd lost so much. You know, when I was gaining weight as a teenager, and I'd gotten up to 250 pounds, you know, I hated it. I hated stepping on the scale and seeing that number. But then it got so much worse. I'd gotten up to 370. That when you're back down at 250, you're like, yeah, this is okay. I'm in it. It's all right.
Yeah, it's cool. So tell me a little bit about, I know that you are still blogging, but under a different alias. Your alias used to be pastaqueen.com. Is that right?
Your blog? I started that blog, I think, in 2003 or 2004, I started to really consistently blog starting in 2005. And I blogged about my weight loss and health and fitness and all those things for about 4 years. And I kind of got to a point where I'd said maybe 90% of what I had to say about all that stuff. So I started then to blog about everything, just anything I wanted to. And I did that for 2 years at PastaQueen.com. But I think that name, Pasta Queen, it was about food. It became associated just with the weight loss part of my life. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was better than to move it to a new address where it's at Jenful.com, which is just, it's like the J-Lo version of my name. It's Jeanette Fulda, Jenful. So that encompasses everything that's in my life. Like a few years ago, I developed a chronic headache condition, so I can talk about that. And then I also quit my full-time job, and now I work for myself full-time. And that's been an adventure, too. So it's like whatever the next adventure is can go on Jenful.com, whereas Pasta Queen is, it's really associated with just the weight loss part of my life, whereas now weight loss has been integrated, or healthy living has been integrated into, like, my whole self. And I think that's a better reflection.
Okay, so we are going to do an ode to ode to the former Pasta Queen. So here we have the former Pasta Queen, Jeanette Fulda, author of Half-Assed, a weight loss memoir of losing almost 200 pounds. I'm Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, how do you keep a good attitude even when you backslide? If you want to know more about Jeanette or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or Jeanette's new site, jenful.com. We'll be right back.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Bravo, John.
Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a...
TalkRadio.com. Transformation TalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters. Be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. $19.95, and you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Savoie. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's Savoie.
I love that song. You guys in Westerly must be loving that song. Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Jeanette Fulda, author of Half-Assed, a weight loss memoir of losing almost 200 pounds, and she has a new book out called Chocolate and Vicodin. I'm fired up with CJ today. So welcome back, Jeanette.
Oh, thanks.
So I wanted to talk about, you know, you had it in your book, you mentioned that you had several different attempts at weight loss, and the last one being the most successful. And during those times, you know, throughout your whole life, I think all people who've ever tried a diet have had this happen. There are moments where you would just like binge. I love the story of you binging on various and stealing pieces of wedding cake.
Yeah, it was some good cake, man. That was a good wedding cake.
What kind of cake was it that was so alluring?
It was just this red velvet cake, and the frosting was really rich and, you know, melted in your mouth. And, I don't know. It was kind of, and it was a nice dense cake too. It wasn't just like full of air. There was some definite.
Oh, those
there.
Are killer. Yeah. So you had your cake, your brother. Like, how many pieces of this cake did you have?
Yeah. It was either two or three. It might have been three. I'm kind of ashamed to say. No one was watching. You know, the waiters just kept handing it out, so then they would take your plate. So no one. It wasn't like I had three big empty plates in front of me. It was just one plate.
Each time, you taking the waiter. You should take this one. Take this plate.
Yeah. We're like, well, that was my brother's. I didn't eat that one. That was yes. Yeah.
So, like, if you were to go through, like, the course of your, you know, during your, because I think people always think, like, oh, she never failed. That's how she, you know, how many times did you actually, you know, when you're on a diet or even now, how many times do you go off the wagon?
Well, I think it's important to look at it, like, not as a diet and as a lifestyle. And with a lifestyle, you know, it's like you're not going to never eat cake ever again. There are times, you know, if it's someone's birthday or if you're at a wedding, it's okay to have a treat and to indulge a little. I think it's more about finding balance and making sure you're not, like, eating because you're depressed or eating because you're bored and trying to look at it overall. So, but sometimes, you know, you do have, you know, you eat three pieces of wedding cake or something. So you just kind of think, okay, that's happened in the past. I can't undo that. So let me just focus on the future and get better. And, you know, you can sometimes moderate. You can just make an effort to maybe eat a little bit lighter the next day, you know, fill up on vegetables that have a lot of bulk or you know, salads and things that, would kind of counteract that. And I know some people, if they know in advance that they're going to go and have, you know, if they're going on a cruise or something, they know they're going to be eating a lot, then in advance they'll make sure to try to monitor their eating so it's not as much. So that can kind of counteract your indulgences.
Yeah, it kind of can, but it kind of can't. Sorry. When I go to birthday parties and someone's like, happy birthday, and then you go and you're like, I'll just have a little slice, and then you eat like a little corner, and then you eat the other corner, and then like before you're done,
like the corner has frosting on all three sides with the big rose.
Exactly. I guess that's, but I think the thing that you stress throughout your book, and that I think is actually a more healthier way of looking at it, is that it's a lifestyle change, right? I mean, this is your whole life. You have your whole life to remedy this versus like a pee.
Yeah, when people go on diets, there's an implication you're going to go off the diet eventually. But I feel like if you try to withhold, you know, if you try to really go full out and not eat that much, when you do crack, you tend to binge and you tend to eat a lot more than you would have otherwise. And I think you're overall worse off than if you just try to moderate it a little bit and just take, you know, a little bit less food a day than instead of trying to just have lots of lettuce or doing something so extreme like that.
The lettuce only diet.
Yeah.
The acai only diet. There's so many of these crazy diets.
Or flushes. I know sometimes people go on like a liquid diet or they'll do strange things. And they just think, well, you know, maybe you should just try to eat more vegetables.
Not get too extreme about it.
Yeah.
So how did you keep a positive attitude? So you're just like, well, I can't do anything. I can't undo that. And then you just thought, okay, well, just do something different the next day. Or, I mean, how did you maintain a positive attitude throughout the whole process?
I think having the blog really helped, because there is a great like community that springs up around weight loss blogs or, you know, health and fitness. I went to a conference a few weeks ago called Fit Blogging, where it's just people who write about health and weight loss. And when you have people like that stopping by and encouraging you in the comments and, you know, congratulating when things go wrong and sort of committing to you when things, you know, don't go so great, that really, you know, it does lift you up and makes it maybe easier to go on. I think having support is pretty important when you want to change your life like that. If you have people who are ragging on you and saying, oh, you're never going to make it, or, you know, diets don't work, it kind of gives you a negative attitude, and you really need to have the positive attitude. You have to believe that you're going to succeed. So, you know, the blog was good, and I think also when I planned out my weight loss, I planned on losing maybe 1 or 2 pounds a week, because that's a healthy rate, and I saw that it was going to take like 2 years, which it was kind of a bummer when you figure that out. It's like, oh, gosh, 2 years. But then I thought, well, are you doing anything else for the next 2 years? Or are you doing something? So you may as well try to go for it.
What else are you going to be doing for the next 2 years? Why not just do this? Whatever. Okay, so tell us in terms of the blog and the support that it offered. I just need, you know, I don't know if I have enough time to write a blog to have people support me. Can I just send emails to myself with inspiring comments?
I know some people do that. They can sign up for a mailing list or something that sends you positive things. I would say Twitter, now that you have Twitter. I didn't really have, Twitter wasn't popular when I was doing my weight loss, but I know that there are Twitter chats. I think there's a hashtag called FitBlog or something like that. So if you don't want to write that much, you can just write a quick little thing and people might respond to you. You can find lists of help.
So it's kind of like your helpline. Like, I'm about to eat a brownie. Yeah. Please help me.
Or something like that. Or you can just say, you know, hey, I ran a mile today, and people will be like, yay, you know, good for you. And, you know, I've seen people in my Twitter line when they do something, if they've run a marathon or something, I'll congratulate them and, you know, give them a thumbs up. So, you know, that's another way you could do it.
So is it mostly the positive reinforcement? Or is there also kind of like, uh-oh, if I don't, I'll be like viewed in public for not doing, you know, meeting my goals?
Yeah, I would say that was another aspect of the blog was accountability, because I weighed in every week, which actually I can't believe I did that when I look back at it.
You're a brave woman.
Yeah, I was. I don't know what was going on there, but I did weigh in every week, and I was honest. I didn't, you know, I couldn't bring myself to lie. I couldn't do that. So I definitely wanted to report a loss, or at least to maintain. I didn't want to gain, because that kind of sucked. And I guess, you know, another thing with weight loss is it is public. Everyone can see that you have a problem if you're really overweight. So there's an element of that too.
Yeah. So what else? So the blog helped in terms of getting friends and family and other people supporting you and cheering you on. Sound like kind of the long-term horizon really helped. What other kind of attitudes or beliefs do you have to have that will be helpful versus not helpful?
I think having non-scale victories are good. I think we tend to really focus on the scale because it's a number. It's something that's really easy to measure. But, you know, it can be a little deceitful because, you know, muscle is more dense than fat. So if you're actually working out and gaining muscle and losing weight, you can actually go up in weight over a week, or you might have just water weight when you muscle kind of retains water sometimes. So I tried to focus on things that weren't related on the scale. You can do measurements. You can do like your hip thrust and all that stuff. But I tried to also focus on athletic achievements. Like I started to run. So running my first 5K was definitely a really big deal, and finishing it. I eventually got to the point where I ran a half marathon. And that was kind of my huge, huge experience. You know, I'd lost my weight and I ran a half marathon. And
wow, that's awesome.
Book called Half-Assed, and it just became this kind of the theme. And I think that's also important because eventually, you know, if you do reach your weight loss goal, you're not going to have that self-enforcement of losing weight every week. Your achievement really is to go on the scale and have the same number come up every time, which is sometimes a little less satisfying than you know, being on this path to this goal. And I think that's part of the reason weight maintenance can be more difficult too, because you kind of aim to keep things fresh and motivating for you.
And I think that's particularly important because there is a point in which you plateau, you know, where you just don't, you're not losing the weight anymore, or maybe you've hit your like ideal weight. I don't even know what it is. I mean, I've definitely, I think, hit that plateau. And it's hard to
call it that, your happy weight, you know, the place where you're eating well and you're exercising and your body is just kind of, you know, plateau. That's like your happy weight.
Oh, okay. You even have a good name for plateau. Happy weight.
It's not a plateau. It's happy weight.
I will draw smiley faces on everything. All right, so we have Jeanette Foldo, author of Half Ass, a weight loss memoir of losing almost 200 pounds. And she has a new book, Chocolate and Vicodin. We're talking on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, how do you set yourself up for success in weight loss? You want to know more about Jeanette or listen to shows like this? Check it out at firedupwithcj.com or jenful.com. That's JENFUL.com. We'll be right back.
When I was a boy, just about the eighth grade, Mama used to say, don't stay out the late with the bad boys. Always shoot the pool, Giuseppe, from the Blanca school. That's my mama, top of the line. But to make me sick of the thing I gotta do, I can't get to no kicks, got to follow stupid rules. Boy, to make me sick, just to make a lousy buck, got to feel like a fool. That's right, mama, you tell me, oh, what's the matter to you? Hey, got no respect, what do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad, it's a nicer place. I'll shut up in your face.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability. but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
TV shows and the movies, get a brand new car, but still I be myself. I never change a thing. Always love to dance and to sing. I think about the mama. She said, what's the matter you have? Got no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place. I'll shut up in your face.
Hi, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, author Jeanette Fulda. Fulda, I can't even say her name. I'm so sorry. Okay. Former pasta queen, which is what the song was all about, who has a new book out, Chocolate and Vicodin. Today we're talking about her old book, Half-Assed, and how she set herself up for success and how she was able to drop 200 pounds. So, How many times did you try to lose weight, you know, from your beginning to final successful end?
Well, I know a lot of people are yo-yo dieters. I was more of a yo-yo exerciser. So I would go through these phases where I'd be really good about walking and getting exercise, and I'd maybe lose a little bit of weight, and then I'd stop, and then I'd continue to kind of eat more than I needed, and I'd get higher, and then I'd exercise a bit for a while. And I remember once our treadmill broke, and that really kind of devastated me because we couldn't afford to get a new one. And I'd been really good about walking, but and then I look back at that and I'm like, well, why didn't you just start walking around the neighborhood, you moron? It's like, you don't need a treadmill to walk around the neighborhood, you know. So I'd always also been skeptical of diets. I mean, people say diets don't work, and you hear about the high failure rate of how people always tend to gain weight back. So I didn't really want to get into that, but my younger brother, who was also overweight, he started doing like the South Beach diet, and that was mostly like eating lean protein, you know, lean like skinless boneless chicken breasts, and eating vegetables and choosing like whole grains over just like white flour or potatoes. And he started to lose weight, and I was looking at what he was eating, and I thought, you know, this is, I could do that. It's not like you're just drinking, you know, you're on an all fruit juice diet or something, or the turnip diet. I don't know.
Right.
So, seeing that he had results, made me think, okay, maybe this will work. And then I started doing that, and it helped. I was living at home at the time, so he was there too. And it kind of helped to have someone just to talk about this stuff with, because it was all new to me. Like I really needed to educate myself on what was good to eat and how to make choices, because sometimes it can be overwhelming. When I go to the yogurt section of the grocery store, it's crazy how many different kinds of yogurts there are. So I was just trying to figure out, okay, which one is the best for me to eat. So I had a lot of learning to do, which I think helped.
I know. It is crazy because there's so many different types of yogurt, and you want to look at the protein and the sugars and the carbohydrates, and when you look at them, they're all different. And something that seems so healthy is not healthy.
Yeah, and it's hard to figure out. Sometimes I wish there were just like two or three choices, and I could then from that pick the best one.
I know. They should have like someone who's like, you know, a health nut. They actually have something at Whole Foods where they have someone now that goes around and just puts green labels on everything.
Oh, really?
Or something. Yeah. So that you don't have to go through, because otherwise you end up spending all this time just staring at these the back of the, you know, the nutritional labels and everything. So it sounds like basically, the first diet was the only diet that you went on, because you weren't really interested in dieting before. You were more doing the exercise.
Right.
And really what it was is just eating healthy. And how were you able to, and really your brother that helped you kind of get over the hump, you know, to kind of be there as support when you're doing it.
One big thing was I wanted to cook, because before then I kind of relied on microwavable dinners or hot pockets or things that were really simple to do, and I'd never really gotten these cooking skills. So I learned, I got a cookbook, and I learned, I think, at first there were five or six recipes that I liked and were fairly easy to do, and they just became my repertoire. So I'd make those for dinner and then have leftovers for lunch the next day. And really getting those skills and being able to really control what was in my food helped, because when you go to a restaurant, you don't really know exactly what they're putting in there. Some of the, you know, the chain restaurants, you can look up nutritional information online, which is great, but you know, if you go to a local place, you don't know. They're probably putting lots of butter in it, so it tastes good.
No, they always put butter. When I ask, I'm like, well, that steak, can you not put butter? I'm like, oh, sure, we won't put the pad of butter or two that we normally put on them. I'm like, really? I didn't know you put a pad or two butter on it. Why? Why do you have to do that?
And I think restaurants are more open to that now. I know, like, at the Olive Garden, you can get, like, whole wheat pasta instead of the regular pasta.
Oh, that's nice.
You can usually request. That's another thing. You know, don't be hesitant to request that they make a change. Like, ask them, please don't put the butter on there, or put the dressing on the side, or things like that that really can help you.
Yeah. I think, you know, my kids, whenever I go, I'm like, okay, so put the dressing on the side, no butter on the top. I'm like, you're so irritating, Mom. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I want to be healthy and I want to eat here, so this is what they need to do.
Yeah, and I feel like our society makes it hard to eat healthy, because there's these, like, two concepts kind of struggling, where we like seeing thin people, but we also push all these fast food, you know, McDonald's and all this high fried foods on people. So it's you know, you have to resist one of these messages.
And then I think another thing, actually, when I was studying up about food, the triumvirate of sugar, fat, and salt, when those two things are in combination, it's actually, it hits some type of pleasure center in your brain, and you go through, like, some addictive, you know, binge kind of eating. And so restaurants try to foster that. That's what someone told me. I'm like,
if you eat a lot of those foods, you do actually, I'm not sure if it's technically addiction, but you have more of a craving for them. It's shown. So once you go off of them for a few days, then it's easier. So you might, you know, try to hang in there at least a week when you start eating healthier. So maybe your cravings will reduce.
Yeah, that's why to my kids I say sugar, fat, and salt is like crack cocaine. Like, go ahead and eat them at your risk in combination. Okay, so let's talk about your goals that when you set up. What were some of the goals that you set up for yourself, and how were they helpful? What were goals were helpful, not helpful?
Well, I set a goal weight, and I went about that by looking at my BMI, which is the body mass index, which is a number you get when you plug in your height and your weight. And you want your BMI to be, I think, at most is 25. I forget. I think it's between 18 and 25. I forget what.
Yeah, so 27 or so, depending
on something like that. So I found a weight where I was at the very top of that range, because I wanted to, you know, make it something achievable. So I kind of went for the top there. And so that helped me set a goal weight. But then I also, you know, I had goals. I had these, this pair of brown corduroy pants that I used to wear in high school that I really liked. And I still have. So those were like the goal pants, and like, someday I shall be able to wear these pants. And it was great when that actually happened. And
did angelic music play in the background?
I think I waited actually a little bit too long, because they were even a little bit baggy. I could still wear them, but I should have pulled these out a month ago. But so things like that are good. And just being able to not shop in the plus size section, to actually go into the regular section of the department store and find clothes there. That was a pretty big deal, particularly because you have more choice in that department. Plus size clothes, actually, they have a lot more variety now than they did, say, like 10 years ago. But it was kind of lacking when I was losing weight. So that was a nice thing to be able to find clothes more easily.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had my brown corduroy pant equivalent, and they're a pair of black pants that I had before having kids. And I finally tried on those pants. I hadn't tried them on forever. And they were completely so old-fashioned. They went up to my belly button. It was just so uncool. And I thought, these are the pants that I've been trying to fit on forever, and now I look like a nerd. Them on. So I didn't have that glorious moment. I hope you had that with your brown corduroy pants.
Oh yeah, it was great. So sometimes this is something I wouldn't recommend. I would buy something that was a little bit too small for me and have a goal to fit into it. But sometimes, even when you were small to fit into it, like, you know, it didn't look well. It was too baggy around the bust, or it rode up or something, because you hadn't actually been able to try it on before you bought it. So, but I still find myself, sometimes I still do that. I will buy something a little too small thinking, oh no, it'll look great. You know, it doesn't always look great. Sometimes it does, but, yeah.
Well, what were some of the goals that, is that one of the goals of like things that weren't helpful, or are there any other types of things that weren't helpful?
I think weighing myself regularly was helpful, because that keeps you on track. You have to monitor. I kept a chart, so I had my fancy little graphs. So I'm the tenth person who likes to make spreadsheets and look at numbers. So it's nice to have.
I like how you do that in a whispered hush.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
Well, I had this nice line, you know, this nice steady line of the goal weight. You know, I started at 372 and 180 was the goal. But then when you actually lose weight, it's more of sort of a, like a mountain. It kind of goes up and down and stuff. But it kind of tracked close to the weight loss. So being able to see that was nice to see in the chart that I was losing weight. That was good. And then, like I said, the blog was good too, because the blog forced me to think about it regularly. I had to go and write an entry. I tried to write about 3 or 4 entries a week. And I had to think about something. I had to think of something that was going wrong, or something was going right, or just something I was thinking about. And just keeping it on my mind, I think, really helped. Making it something that was maybe one of the top 2 or 3 priorities in my life at that time.
Yeah. So we have a nice stack of ideas. Twitter is one, and growing it, kind of joining a support group, blogging, writing your weight down, and kind of checking in regularly. Might be buying some clothes. Those are all great little tips. So author Jeanette Fulda, who has a new book out, Chocolate and Vicodin, along with her blog, jenfulda.com, on Fired Up with CJ. Up next, accountability choices and next steps. You want to know more about Jeanette or listen to the other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of 2 will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to citysolveurbanrace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
You're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
That was awesome. Hi, I'm CJ Liu. That's a great song choice, Chris. And you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Jeanette Bolda, who has a book out, Chocolate and Vicodin. And I want to talk to you about your book, but first, what are the takeaways that you want us to have? What are the three takeaways you want people to take away from the show?
I would say one, it's a lifestyle change. It's not a diet. It's something that you really have to do for the rest of your life, not just for the weight loss, but also just for better health and making sure you have a long life. I think number two would be slow and steady wins the race. I think people see shows like The Biggest Loser where someone loses lots of weight really fast, and maybe they want to do that, but it's, it tends to be more realistic to lose 1 or 2 pounds a week. That's about a healthy rate, and that's usually, if you lose it slow, you're more prone to keep it off. And I think the third one would be you can't hate your way into loving yourself. You really need to have a positive attitude and think that you're worth it to make this change, to go through with it. I think if you have a negative attitude, you're more likely to fail.
Yeah. Did you trademark that statement? That's awesome.
Maybe I should. Can't hate your way into loving yourself.
You can't hate yourself. You can't hate your way into loving yourself. Can. Seriously, that's an awesome statement. And it's
put on t-shirts. And, yeah.
That's true. It's true. Okay, so now let's go back. So now I want you to go to the younger you and offer it words of encouragement. Go back in time, travel back in time, talking to the younger you. What would you say? What would you say to that part of you or that younger version of you who's like, I'll never make it. I'm never going to lose this weight. Or for other people out there who kind of are feeling the same way.
I would say definitely you're not as fat as you think you are. I would go back and look at photos of myself in middle school or high school when I felt really fat, and I'd be like, you weren't fat. What are we talking about? You were overweight. You know, I was bigger than I wanted to be, but it really wasn't that bad. And I think back, like, why was I so, you know, why was I so down on my weight at that time? You're not as fat as you think you are. I think I've also talked to other people who've lost weight larger, and it's like this universal thing. They look back on photos and they're like, what was I thinking? I was fine.
Is that your positive inspiration? Not as bad as you think you are.
I probably tell myself to learn about food, because I didn't know what was good to eat. I didn't really know what was healthy. So I would definitely try to make more an effort to to eat well and to learn how to cook earlier. These were things that I waited, you know, probably far too long to learn.
Yeah.
I tell her, hey, it's okay. You can make it. It'll turn out okay.
It'll turn out. It'll be fine. That's cool. Yeah. All right. So let's tell us about your new book.
It's called Chocolate and Vicodin, My Quest for Relief from the Headache That Wouldn't Go Away. And it's about this chronic headache I got in 2008. It's ironic because I was literally in the best health of my life. I was, you know, at my goal weight. I was exercising regularly. I was eating healthy. And then one day in February, I got this headache, and it wouldn't go away. So I've actually had a headache for over 3 years now. We've gotten to a point where we've managed it and we're able to bring it down. So it's not this horrible pain that it was at the beginning. But the book is all about all the crazy things I tried. I've tried basically everything to get rid of this headache.
Do you have a headache now?
Yeah, I do actually. And I'll probably have the letdown headache, you know, where after I've been speaking for a while, then afterwards it kind of goes out, and then I'll get a rebound headache. But the book, again, like half-assed, I take a lighthearted kind of humorous approach to it because I think it's better to laugh through those things or else you'd just be crying about it. And it also covers, you know, how having an illness really affects weight maintenance and how it's much harder to keep when the only thing that makes you feel good is eating, you know, bad foods for you. It's really hard. And I did, you know, I started to gain back weight so it just does cover like how weight maintenance is more difficult and how things, you know, things happen that you don't expect. And try to deal with those in the best ways that you can.
Yeah. So the gaining of weight was an unexpected thing. Well, I guess if you're eating chocolate,
yeah. Yeah. And actually, chocolate can be a headache trigger, so I don't know why I'm seeing all the chocolate.
I think I found the solution. Stop eating chocolate. Yeah. Probably not helping. All right, wow, so that's incredible that you've had a headache the whole time. So this book is a humorous look at having a headache for 3 years.
And what's sad is I've gotten lots of emails from other people who have the same thing. You know, they have a headache and no one really knows why and it won't go away. And you just have to try everything. And sometimes people do, you know, get help and it goes away. But sometimes it's still here.
My goodness. All right, so I want to know about your family and what kind of family you have. Like that's able to have you. I mean, it's so helpful. I mean, it's so much helpful to not hate yourself, you know? I mean, it's you know, to see light in things. I mean, tell me about your family and how they kind of taught you this.
I think they, you know, they were never critical of me. And I think it helped that all of us were overweight. Well, except for my older brother. He was always thin. And I was like, is he really related to us? He's got the good genes. But, you know, so we were all overweight, so it's not like one of us could really judge the other one of us. So,
yeah,
and we, you know, they never really even picked up and talked about my weight or anything. We never really picked on it, and maybe we should have. It might have been good to have a discussion and say, hey, we need to make a change here. We need to do something different. But overall, they've always been supportive of me, and, you know, they definitely, you know, they do the typical mom things. They drive you to after school stuff. You know, they were always involved in my life, so I think that helped anyway.
Yeah, but
always...
it sounds like they were. You didn't like, you know, the kind of the critical parent and, you know, the inner critic. All these like psychological terms that people talk about, because you didn't have critical parents or the inner critic or child voice or all those different things that they talk about in psychology. Because they were like pretty nice, accepting, positive people.
Yeah, you know, and I've written other, you know, weight loss memoirs or blogs. You hear about people who have these really critical mothers who put them on a diet when they're 10, or maybe they're even a Weight Watcher leader or something. So I think it was good that I wasn't defined by my weight, you know, in my family, and it was, it was always there, but they never made me feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
And I think it helped. I had other accomplishments too. I was always good in school and I got good grades and, you know, I was in band. So I had these other things that made me feel good about myself outside of my weight.
Yeah. And I think it did a great job, because I felt like throughout the whole thing, you were balanced and level headed and didn't let all the external feedback really ever affect who you were as a person. And I find that hugely admirable. A lot of people would not be able to do that.
Yeah. And it's good to, you know, have good people around you.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much. I had a blast talking to you, and thank you for sharing your advice and story about your just incredible journey. I mean, it is really unbelievable, 200 pounds. Anyways, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem. And the journey continues. You know, it's never really over.
I know. It's a lifestyle, right? It's a lifestyle change and a life.
You know, I still struggle, so I don't feel like people should think you ever completely have it figured out. You're always in the process of dealing with it.
This is life. This is the nature of life, right? Yeah. Chris, thank you so much for all the wonderful songs. Next week, we'll have Ragini Michaels continuing our conversation. We had a conversation in the beginning of May on guilt and shame. And we're still going to be talking about guilt and shame, and specifically how to stop others from shaming you or feeling guilty. So have a great week, guys, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.